The book of 2 Samuel. And 24 chapters, and this is one of those books that is entirely devoted to the life of King David. And we want to see, especially in the life of King David, lessons about what we can do in this life as we prepare ourselves in God. 2 Samuel has 24 chapters. And David's life, as we follow through in this series, we want to see that David was anointed 3 times. David had 3 anointings on his life. And each anointing speaks about something different. When God calls us, when God anoints us, there are degrees of His anointing. We see in Paul's life that there are 5 phases of his ministry. We see in David's life that there are also 5 phases, but 3 anointings. So we're going to see David's life and follow through on these different anointings that he received. Although he was called of God to be king, yet he was anointed king 3 times. Even though you may be called to be an evangelist, you can be an evangelist anointed 3 times. Now there are 3 degrees of anointing, but between those 3 degrees, you can always receive different measures of fresh anointing. We understand that. And sometimes because of the desire of our heart, we can increase anointing in our life. You cannot decide what office God calls you to. That is in His predestined will. Praise God. Sure, I come on a while ago. How nice when the glory of God really does that to us. Now, we cannot decide the office that God calls us to, because before we were born, God has written a book about what we are to do in His life. However, we can determine the measure of anointing that you could function in that office. That is within our choice. And we need to see what is within our choice and what is not within our choice. Those things that are within our choice, we need to do something about that. Even though David was king, he was anointed 3 times. Some people are anointed about 10 times, but they don't pass the first anointing of David. We see here, David has his first anointing, and in each one of this anointing, he has a special, what I call, capital. Although in his first anointing, there was no real capital. In the book of 1 Samuel, let's trace from 1 Samuel, chapter 16, Samuel was called of God, and he went to the house of Jesse, selected out the younger son, David, and took the horn of oil and poured it over David's life in the midst of his brothers. So in 1 Samuel 16, we see in verse 13, this is David's first anointing. And he was anointed to be king. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So the oil was a symbol of that anointing. David stood in 2 offices. And we saw that Samuel stood in 3. And we need to understand the priorities of office. David's prime office was as a king. His secondary office was as a prophet. In the book of Acts chapter 2, it refers, in quoting David's prophecy in the book of Psalms, Peter quotes and says, David, being a prophet, prophesied of Christ. So that was David's sideline. We need to know what our main line is. A lot of people take their sideline to be their main line. and the main line to be the sideline. The major on the minus and the minus minor on the major. We need to know what God called us to do and follow through on the priority. Now, in the first anointing that David had, he didn't really have a capital city like his second anointing and his third anointing. In his first anointing, it was what I call a preparatory anointing. See, when God anoints you, there will be three times He will anoint you. There were three times that He will bring you through to prepare you for the office He calls you to. The first anointing is an anointing of God to prepare your own life for the office. See, you may be called to be king, but there are things in your life that look more like something else than a king. And so that anointing to be king was to transform your inner being so that your inner being began to flow like a king. When the kingly anointing came on David, there was something in him that rose up. The king in him started. It was like a seed. He went into a preparatory stage. Jesus Christ received the anointing of the Holy Spirit after He was baptized in water. And when He arose out of John's baptism, the Bible says the Holy Spirit descended on Him as a dove. Notice the first 40 days of His anointing was preparatory. The moment He was anointed as a Messiah to fulfill the Messianic promises and to be the Savior to the world, Jesus did not preach. He did not teach. He did not cast out devils. He did not heal. That anointing had to soak into His own life. The Bible says in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1 that the Holy Spirit drove Him into the wilderness, where for 40 days and 40 nights He was tempted, tested, and tried. And He came out victorious. So that first anointing is a private anointing. When God calls you, an anointing comes into your life. It begins. It's a very private anointing. Some people, when they receive that first anointing, they are all ready to go. Hey, well, here I come. But they forget their three anointings. That first one is to get you acquainted with your call. And to tune every part of your being into that office that God wants you to function in. So some people, after the first anointing, they say, hey, well, here I come. And they go. To their surprise, they were tempted, tested, tried, and they came up fried. As they drag their half-torn clothes, struggling back, and say, I don't know what happened, but I knew God anointed me. My brother, that was the first anointing. Sometimes God anoints you to be a prophet. You forget that first anointing comes with a prophet stone. Tempted, tested, and tried. Now, David's primary center after he received favor from King Saul, and he mastered in music, and he was serving Saul, and he defeated the lion, the bear, and Goliath, etc. Then you notice that he still didn't become king. Even though he received that first anointing, he was not king yet. A lot of people receive that first anointing as a prophet. They look around and say, hey, call me prophet now. What's your name? You know, Prophet Tanaka. And so, you know, you call him, you know, prophet Tanaka, but he's no prophet yet. That first anointing doesn't establish you. That first anointing tunes you. Tunes your inner being into what God wants you to be. When God anoints you to be pastor, it doesn't mean you go straight out. Because you're not tempted, tested, and tried. No temptation has ever overtaken you except what is common to man. And with every temptation, God provides a way for escape, a way of escape. Some of the people think that the way of escape is that as the temptation is coming this way, God is on that side, and here comes the devil in his racing car. He's going to run you over. And you're here on the road here. Say, God, I didn't know you anointed me for this. You say, bless God, with every temptation, God provides a way of escape. And you're thinking that God is on this side. God whispers, shh, shh, come over here. Or maybe God is in a helicopter. He throws down that rope and say, come on, pull that rope. And the devil in his, I don't know in his what, comes by and you go, and the devil misses you. That first anointing of escape, you don't escape out of the temptation. You don't escape from the temptation. You escape through the temptation. Now there are some temptations that is God's will for you to be tested through. He will give you the opportunity. But there are some that we step into ourselves. If you examine the New Testament very carefully, you will notice both are true. You harmonize the scriptures. See, in Mark chapter 1, it's very clear. It was the Holy Spirit who led Jesus into the wilderness. It was not the devil, it was the Holy Spirit. God led him into the wilderness. God Almighty sent him there. But yet Jesus, when he spoke to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, says, pray, pray, lest temptation come upon you. Pray that you enter not into temptation. So we know from the teaching in the Bible that there are some temptations you're never supposed to enter. But there are some that God will allow that you go through. Not that you will fall. Because he will allow only that measure which he knows you can succeed. So what happens is here comes the devil in his car, and on his car says, hot as hell. And you're thinking God's going to save you by helicopter, save you that way. No, God says, look, son, like Paul, you're saying, God, God, where are you? God, oh God. God whispers, my grace is sufficient for you. So God, what grace, Lord? Look very carefully around you. Say, where, God? I parked my Holy Ghost car in you. Take it out. So you took your Holy Ghost car. Outside it puts gentle as dove, bold as a lion. So you step on the accelerator. The devil comes here. You come here. And you go right through. Shoom. The devil got the shock of his life. Where did he go? See, God saves you through the lion's den. Not out of the lion's den. Not away from the lion's den. But he saves you through the lion's den. And that first anointing would demand that everything in your inner being, of your soul and of your physical body, tunes to what God called you to be. See, that anointing equips you for that role. Notice something happened to King Saul when the anointing came on him the first time. I'm sad to say King Saul only got the first anointing. Now, there are some people still struggling with their first anointing. They never move further than that. They didn't know they could be anointed several times for the same job. King Saul, in the book of 1 Samuel, it's all part of it. 1 Samuel chapter 10 tells you that verse 9.